Welcome to this message from Alpha and Omega Ministries International. We value the Word of God as an instrument of growth in our lives, using it to mend our ways, align our thinking, and ultimately bring restoration. We trust that you will be blessed and encouraged by what we have to share.
Praise God. Today I want to talk to you about the preparatory work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within the church. The preparatory work of the Spirit in the house of God. And in order to lay a foundation on what the Lord has placed on my heart to share with you today, I want to share with you the two questions the Holy Spirit asked me a couple of days ago. And you know, when God asks you questions, is not because he's looking for an answer. I believe he wants to draw our attention to something that takes center stage at this time in our lives. And so here are the questions the Holy Spirit asked me a couple of days ago. He said, can you step into the flow of the Spirit and move with power with him without any kind of training or preparation? It's an important question. Can we step into the flow of the move of the Spirit and walk with him in the power of the Spirit without any kind of training or preparation? And the second question he asked was, can anyone run a marathon without being adequately trained and prepared for it? Obviously, the answer to both questions is no. No one can. And so I believe the Spirit of God wanted to bring my attention to a very important principle in the Bible, and that is the principle of preparation. And so, here is a question I want to ask. If we have been praying and believing God for a move of His Spirit in our lives, how should we be preparing for it? If you've been asking the Lord to take you deeper into the things of God, into the things of the Spirit, like we have been praying, at least I have, Lord, take me further with you than I have ever been before. For my one desire is to know your heart. And if we have been praying that way, how then should we be preparing for such an answer to our prayer? It's a very important question. That's why when we pray and believe God for certain things, if we truly believe that what we have asked the Lord, He heard our prayer, we should be moving towards preparing for the answer. Don't you think? Or else why pray at all anyway? And that's why the walk of faith is so important, because faith knows the end from the beginning. And faith goes into action preparing for what we have asked the Lord. And it's very important for us to understand how important is the principle of preparation. If we believe, for example, take, for example, our Sunday evening gatherings centered around the Word of God, receiving the ministry of the Word, the ministry of the Spirit. If we believe that God will meet with us on this platform and speak to us as we gather together, what then should be our approach, or what kind of preparation we ought to be doing as we log on this platform? That's a very important question, because I have learned that God only responds to the level of our expectation. In other words, if you're not expecting God to minister to you, then he will not. God moves on the level of our expectation because expectations inspire preparations. For example, as we gather together, before we log on, what kind of preparation are we doing? Do we prepare our hearts, our minds? Do we ask the Holy Spirit to prepare us and to enable us to focus on the Word of God? Many times, I know it happens to me, I would sit in church and my mind starts wandering and moving around and traveling all over on one thing or another. And you know what? At that point in time, we miss what God is ministering or imparting to us. So it's very important not just to be here in body, but also in mind and paying attention to what God is saying and what God is communicating to us if we desire to receive maximum results from the Word of God. And so it requires us to do some kind of preparation in prayer, adjusting our mindset, our attitude, laying down aside every thought of concern, every thought of anxiety, and saying, just like Mary did, when Jesus walked into her house, the Bible says that Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. She was fully there. She was focused. She was attentive to what Jesus was communicating at that point in time. But Martha missed the opportunity because she was far too busy preparing. And there was nothing illegitimate or nothing wrong about preparing for your guests, but she did not give priority to the Word of God. And so she missed that opportunity. And how many times have we missed opportunities that God wants to communicate an important truth, an important revelation to us because we're not paying attention? We're not fully there. We're somewhere traveling and worrying or thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow and so on and so forth. So I want to encourage you that every time you pick up the Word of God to read, every time you get before God to pray, be silent and prepare. Lord, touch my heart. Blessed Holy Spirit, what I'm picking up in the Word of God is holy. Help me to focus. Help me to pay attention to what it is that you desire to communicate to me today. Because God loves to speak to you every single day. He loves to communicate and fellowship with you, the Holy Spirit, throughout the day. So it's very important that we honor and acknowledge his presence within us and communicate regularly with him and talk to him by acknowledging him, and then we will see how he will minister to us. He will show us things that we did not know. He will guide us in the ways of life, in the decision making. And he desires that from us. So, but we need to develop a level of expectation. And God can only respond to the degree of our hunger and of our thirst for his presence. This is so important for us to understand, to comprehend, because God is a gentleman. He does not push, he does not force, he does not manipulate, he does not threaten, he does not shout. He's so gentle. The Bible says he will not raise his voice in the streets. He is gentle, he is kind, and he can only respond to the degree we honor him, to the degree we expect him, to minister to us, to speak to us, and to the degree of our hunger and thirst for his presence. Very important. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare us for such God encounters. It's his work. The Bible says that it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. God in the person of his Spirit is working within us, both the willingness and the doing of his good pleasure. You're not going to prepare. The Spirit will prepare you, but he requires our attention, our yielding, and our obedience to his promptings and to his leadings. That's all he desires. That is why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We present ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We yield to him. We give him the authority to minister, to speak, to correct, to lead, to guide, to comfort, and whatever the need is at the time. But we need to yield and to present our bodies, our hands, our feet, our mouth, our eyes, our voice, and say, Lord, here I am. My life is not my own. I've been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I belong to you. My life belongs to you. Help me, guide me, teach me, lead me, or comfort me, whatever you need at the time. So the principle that I'm endeavoring to communicate to you, which the Lord laid on my heart, is the principle of preparation. And you know from your own life, everything in life requires thorough preparation if you desire to succeed in your endeavors. Nothing well done takes place without preparation, planning, and organization. God is a God of order. He is obsessed about order. If you're going on a journey, you're required to prepare for it. If you're moving house, you're required to prepare for the move. You don't just get up and move. Amen? If you are expecting visitors in your house, you go into a mode of preparation, a state of mind, preparing the house, preparing for your guests. Well, what are you going to be doing? Amen? That takes preparation. You're building a house. You're building a business. It requires planning and thorough preparation. Jesus said, which of you intends to build a house and does not sit down first and counts the cost? Whether he has enough to finish what he starts. That's preparation. Before you even lay foundations, before you put a brick, you prepare. Amen? So preparation is vitally important. The more we prepare, the more successful we will be in our endeavors. Amen? Praise God. And I've learned that when you are in a state of expectation, you always prepare for what is to come. I recall when the Holy Spirit revealed to me many years ago that soon, he said, you will move out of this country into another country, which I will show you. And when that revelation, when the word of the Lord came to me, I began to prepare. My attitude, my way of thinking started to change. I need to prepare for what is coming. And I have asked the Lord, I sought the Lord in prayer to give me a plan of preparation so that my preparation would be in according to the will of God. And you know what? He did answer my prayer. He did show me exactly what to do, how to go about doing it. And you know what? Our move from Zimbabwe to South Africa was so blessed, so smooth, and so natural, supernatural. It was like a mountain moved. And you know, those days, you were only allowed to bring a suitcase of clothes with you and maybe a couple of furniture. You were not allowed to bring your money. You were not allowed to bring anything more. But God made a way for us where there was no way, and he did it in such a way that it was marvelous to behold. Amen. So learn the lesson. Preparation is vitally important. The Bible says that Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. You know, up until that time, no rain fell on the earth. The people laughed at him when he talked about the flood that was coming. But he heard God. He was divinely warned of God. And he moved with godly fear, preparing. When you see what God has in store for you, for your future, you will move with godly fear and prepare for it. And that is why it's so important to have godly vision, to see what God sees in you, and about your future, and about the works that God prepared for you beforehand that you should walk in them. Ask the Lord to show you. Jesus said, when the Spirit of God comes, he will show you things to come. Talking about your life, your future, the things that God prepared for you. And those things are in the Spirit. You cannot feel them. You cannot see them. Amen. You can only discern them by the revelation of the Spirit. That's why fellowship with the Spirit and intimacy with the Spirit is so vitally important in order for us to succeed in what God called us to do. He will show you things to come. And when he shows you, he shows it to you in order for you to prepare. God never dumps you into something that you're not prepared for it. He shows you what is to come, then he comes back and he prepares you for what he has prepared for you. God showed Joseph when he was a young boy in his father's tent. He showed him his future, his destiny. Then he came back and he started preparing him, molding him, fashioning him, and testing his character and integrity, and then moved him into what God prepared for him. He made him ready. It is the work of the Spirit to make us ready. But you know what? We can delay the process. We can delay our preparation by resisting him, by hardening our hearts, not yielding to him, not being obedient to him, and putting up roadblocks because of our fears, our insecurities, and so on and so forth. And that's why we must be willing to present ourselves, whatever the cost. Lay the things that we ought to lay down and pick up the things we ought to be picking up and move with it. That's why Jesus said, the lamp of the body is your eye. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. But if all you see is darkness, the problem is not on the outside. The problem is on the inside. It's the way you see things. It's the way you perceive things. It's the way you understand things. And unless you change your perception, your life will never change. Are you listening to me? It is your perspective that changes things. It's the way you see things around you, the way you see God, the way you see yourself, the way you see your surroundings. How do you see them? If your eye is healthy, you will see light. If your eye is not healthy, all you look at and all you see is darkness, impossibilities. And you become oppressed and depressed because your eye is sick. Pray for the healing of your vision. And that's what I want to pray. One of the things I want to pray for you today is that your sight may be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to your sight, to your spiritual sight. I speak healing and health and deliverance to your sight, that you may be able to see the way God sees things, that you may be able to see yourself as God sees you, that you may be able to see the bright future that God has prepared for you. Guys, we are living in the most exciting days of human history. God is on the move and about to break forth the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. And we have a choice whether we can be part of that move or whether we're going to stand on the outside looking in. Please hear what I'm saying. Pray that God would heal your vision, that you may be able to see. God talks to Abraham and he says, get up on the mountain and look to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. What you see, and as far as you see, I have given it to you. God can only give you what you see, my brother, my sister. If you don't see it, you cannot have it. Elisha said to his spiritual father, his mentor, Elijah, I want a double portion of what you have. And Elijah said to him, if you see me when I'm going, your request is granted. Vision. Vision. Godly vision. How I pray that the church would receive a vision. But like Samson, because of the compromise, because of the worldliness that we have indulged ourselves into, the enemy has blinded us, just like Delilah, the Philistines, has blinded Samson. Oh, that God may restore sight to us, spiritual vision, because vision will ignite adequate preparation. When you see what God has in store for you. We're talking about preparing. Preparing for what? Preparing our hearts, preparing our mind, preparing our attitude for what we have been praying. For the move of God, to move deeper and deeper into the things of God, into the mysteries of the kingdom, where we are empowered to do greater works than we have done before. And it's coming. When Daniel read in the book of Jeremiah that the captivity of his nation, the 70 years of captivity that God said they would go into captivity, was to an end and a new day was at hand, look how Daniel prepared for the day of God's visitation. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 to 7. Then Daniel said, I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer, supplication, with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I pray to the Lord my God and make confession and say, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are near, those who are far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Wow. Daniel went to prayer in preparation for the new day that God was about to visit his people. And Daniel not only prepared himself, his heart, but he also prepared his entire nation through his intercessory prayer through fasting, confessing, and humbling himself before the Lord. He counted himself among those who transgressed, even though Daniel was not guilty. He did not transgress the Lord his God. He continued his prayer, and he was loyal and faithful to God. Remember, they even threw him into the den of lions. But he included himself with his community. And that's what intercessors do. They identify with those they pray for. Amen. And I'm beginning to experience the same thing. As I intercede for my neighborhood and my community here, I sense the cries, I sense the pain, I sense the desperation, and I am yielding myself to the Spirit, crying out to God for mercy, to pour out mercy, repentance, and forgiveness. And that's what we should be doing in preparing not only ourselves, but our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, our neighborhood, and those whom God brings us in contact with. Amen. That's preparation. This is the kind of preparation I believe that the Spirit is calling for. We have also been given precious promises from the Word of God for the days in which we are living in, the days we are in now. Promises of God that he would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh, he said. Look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. This is the word of the Lord coming through the mouth of Peter, saying, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God." Are we in the last days? Of course we are. It shall come to pass when? Now, in the last days. Who says? God says that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Your children ought to be prophesying. Your grandchildren ought to be prophesying. Old men will see dreams. Young men will see visions. This is the days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we truly believe these words that are spoken, how should we prepare for the outpouring of the Spirit? How should we respond to such prophetic utterances in the days of this massive outpouring that God spoke about? Amen. It's a question you need to ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, how do I prepare for this outpouring of your Spirit? Show me. What is it you require of me? What is it that I need to lay down? What is it that I need to pick up? What is it that I need to do that I have not been doing? What is it that I need to stop doing that which I have been doing? And the Spirit will show you. If you are sincere in your prayer, he will give you a plan of preparation. But I do believe that the plan, the work of preparation, it's a deep work. It's a work that is done within us, not outside of us. So often we pray to God to change things on the outside, to change people, but God says, I want to change you first before I change your surroundings. And this is, I believe, a general word to the church today, and I sense the Holy Spirit calling out to the church that this is the plan that God has set in his word in order to adequately prepare us for this massive outpouring. It's found in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. And I'm reading. And he gives, that is God, gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, here's the first requirement. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you in honor. Notice what the word says. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. That's the first step. We humble ourselves. We come close to God, and we wash our hands in the blood of Christ. What do the hands speak of? They speak of ungodly works, works of the flesh, works that are not of the Spirit. And then he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. A double-minded person, James says, cannot receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because he's one day up, one day down, one day in the world, one day in Christ. And there has to come a time when we purify our hearts, when we are devoted to God, to the kingdom, to his purposes. That's how purity of heart. We pursue the Lord, and we are wholly undivided attention and undivided devotion to the Lord our God. He is Lord, not just a Savior. And so as we do that, as we humble ourselves, as we mourn, spiritual mourning is fasting. As we mourn, God will bring joy, because the word says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. True joy comes out of spiritual mourning. True life comes out of death. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is at work, calling, wooing us, calling us to go deeper into the presence of God, into a holy God. Malachi chapter 3 says, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who can endure the day of his appearing? And who can stand when he comes? Why? Because he's going to be like a purifying fire. This move of God that is about to break forth, it's going to be characterized by holiness and godly fear. Amen? So the Spirit is doing something. What's he doing? He's preparing for himself a body, a vessel in which he can pour the glory of God in, and which he can work through and adequately represent Christ the Lord to the world. That when the world sees the church, they will see Christ in full manifestation. They will experience his love, his kindness, his mercy, his goodness, his forgiveness. They will experience his works of healing and miraculous signs and wonders. It will be like Christ moving across the earth through the body the Holy Spirit prepared for him. What a day that will be. I am so excited. And because I see what is coming, I'm inspired to prepare for it. I rise in the morning early and I pray and I seek God. I seek a plan from him. Show me, Lord, what do I do? What do I lay down? What do I pick up? I want to cooperate with you in preparing me for what is to come. You promised me 15 years of fruitful ministry. I don't want to wait one day, waste one day of those 15 years. I want to challenge you to talk to the Spirit and say, here I am, Lord. Show me what to do. It's written in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 7. I want to read this verse of scripture to you because it's a very significant scripture here. The Bible says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, speaking about Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I say, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. These verses of scripture were fulfilled once in Jesus' life. God prepared a body for him through the Virgin Mary, and he walked among us on the earth. But these very verses are being fulfilled in our day once again in the preparation of Christ's body on the earth. The Holy Spirit has undertaken this huge task to prepare a body for Jesus Christ for the final chapter in God's calendar. And this body of believers, they have distinguished characteristics. Number one, they are sold out to God completely and utterly. They are consumed with the zeal of the Lord. They are focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is obedience to the will of God, regardless of the price or the cost that is required of them. They will follow the Lamb of God wherever he leads. They have been prepared for such a time as this, just like Esther was prepared for such a time as that. And God anointed her, and through her, an entire nation was delivered from destruction. And these men and women of God have cooperated with the Spirit in the work of preparation by yielding to him in complete obedience, and they have been refined and made themselves ready for the Master's use. Turn with me, please, and let's read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Paul, writing to Timothy, his spiritual son, says to him, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." What a blessed and a powerful scripture gives us understanding about the great house of God, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this great house of God, he says, there are all kinds of vessels. And the vessels who are honored and useful in the house for God are those who have cooperated, yielded to the Holy Spirit in cleansing themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Amen. They have yielded themselves to the purifying process the Lord carefully prepared and tailored for them. In other words, they have denied themselves. They have embraced the cross, and they died daily on it. The fire of God purified them, and now they are ready, they vessels of gold and silver, to do the works that God prepared for them before the foundation of the world. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Can you see the similarities between 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 2? Good works prepared for us that we should walk in them. And now, God, through his Spirit, is preparing you, preparing me, making us ready as we cooperate with him in order to walk in a higher dimension than we've ever walked before, so that we can do the works of faith. These works are beyond the scope of our natural thinking or imagination. They are far beyond the natural understanding, the works that God has prepared for you, for me, for this body. Amen. And God is preparing us for it. And these works include healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, and setting the captives free. Now, as we close, if we're going to move with and walk in the Spirit in this great revival, we need to make some quality decisions that will determine our future in the Lord. And one of those decisions we must all come to the place where we make, a decision from which there is no return, to be wholly devoted to God and to the work of His kingdom. In other words, to seek first, above all, His kingdom and His righteousness. That is our pursuit. That is our desire. That is our purpose in life. Not so that we can have a better life, not so that we can be comfortable, not so that we can be happy, no, so that we can do the works of God, the kingdom of God, the interests of the kingdom of God, to establish the influence of God's kingdom wherever we go, with our words, with our actions, with our attitude. Amen. So, we need to understand also, as I close, preparation involves primarily a change of mind and attitude. And that the Bible calls repentance. The word repentance in the Greek is change your mind that will lead you to a change of behavior. Preparation always involves a change of mind and a change of attitude. It involves a change in the way we do things, as well as taking a path that is unknown and unfamiliar to us. Why? Because new wine must be put into new wineskins. We cannot keep doing the same thing and expect different results, folks. It's just not possible. If we keep doing the same thing that we have been doing, we will reap exactly what we have been reaping for so long. Change must come, and growth requires change. But not just change for the sake of change. The changes that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you in your life. That's the kind of change that we need to make. So talk to God. Here I am, Lord. Show me what needs to change in my life. What needs to change in my attitude? And believe me, He will speak to you and He will show you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. And we thank You that the word which has gone out of my mouth, Your word today, I decree and declare that it shall not return unto You void, but will accomplish that which You please, and it will prosper, Lord, in the way in which You send it. Thank You, blessed Holy Spirit, for answering every genuine heart, every seeking heart, every seeking mind, ministering to them on a personal level, showing them what needs to be done, what needs to change. I leave them and commit them into Your loving hands. And as a watchman, I pray for them. I pray for their families. And I pronounce the blessing of the Lord upon each and every one of them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And this concludes the ministry of the word today. I pray that you received an impartation today that will remain with you. Did you get something out of this today? Did the Lord minister to you today? Did you hear the Spirit speaking to you as I was speaking? That's important. Amen. And don't be afraid to say and to testify. God spoke to me the other day and he said, you ought to be speaking and saying what you would be doing. That's biblical. That's faith. David said to Goliath, I'm going to take your head off of your shoulders today. And he did. But he said that before he did it, the woman with the issue of blood said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And she did, and she got healed. You see, it's Bible to say and to speak what you would be doing. Amen? But be careful that you speak what God says, not what you think or what you feel. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this message. For additional resources or more information about this ministry, come and visit us at alphaomegaint.org.za.